This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We move on to hadith number 28, inshallah. Hadith number 28, super beautiful and important hadith. An Abi Najih Al-Irbad ibn Sariya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Wa'adhana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam maw'izatan wajilat minha al-qulub wa dharafat minha al-uyun. Irbad ibn Sariya mentions the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a particular day, he delivered an admonishment. He gave them an admonition that made our hearts fearful and our eyes tearful. We said, O Rasul of Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِظَةُ مُوَدِّعُ. It is as if this is a farewell admonition. It is as if these are the advices of a person bidding farewell. And so advise us. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ. I advise you to have the taqwa of Allah and to listen and obey. Listen and obey to who? Listen and obey your ruler. وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. I order you to listen and obey. Even if a slave is the leader over you, listen and obey him. Certainly, the one who will live among you for a long period of time, he will see lots of differences. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ. And so stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs, the rightly guided successors. عُضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. عُضُّوا, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in some narrations, عُضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. That, hold on to it, bite on to that, bite on to my sunnah and the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin and that pathway and that sirat, bite on to that with your molar teeth. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْتَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And avoid newly invented matters, newly introduced matters. Avoid them. Verily, every heresy is a going astray. رواه أبو داود والترمذي. And Imam al-Tirmidhi قال حديث حسن صحيح. He said that this is an authentic, it's a حسن صحيح hadith. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, super beautiful and important hadith. We begin our explanation inshallah. Number one, the takhrij of this hadith. Number one, this hadith has been reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam Abu Dawood. There are many corroborating chains for this hadith, and there's also certain variations in some of the narrations. We find, for example, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed and the Sunan of Imam Ibn Majah, it has the addition, قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ. قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ, I have left you people, عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ, لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا بَعْدِي إِلَّا هَالِكَ. I have left you all on a clear matter, the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained the matters quite clearly. قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ, I have left you people upon a clear matter. لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا, whose night is like its day in respect to its clarity. The night is clear that it's night, and the day is clear that it is day. Each one has its clarity. لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا بَعْدِ إِلَّا هَالِكَ, and no one strays from it after me, except that this person is the destroyed one. This person is the halik. Allahu musta'an. We find that in some narrations they mention that the end of the hadith states, وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ, and every misguidance is in the fire. In reality, that wording is not from this hadith. That wording is not from this hadith. Rather, in some books, you find that this statement is mudraj. It has just been added on incorrectly. Rather, that's not from this current hadith, but rather it forms part and parcel of the khutbatul hajjah hadith, and that's reported by Imam An-Nasa'i in his Sunan. Number two, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, the narrator, Abu Najih Irbad ibn Sariya. He is from the early Muslims, subhanAllah, the early Muslims of Mecca. In fact, he described himself as being one quarter of Al-Islam. There was a time, there was a period, that he might have been from amongst the early four individuals who were Muslims, subhanAllah. So he's a companion who embraced Islam very, very, very early. He was not a rich individual. He was part and parcel of the group of the Ahl al-Suffa in Medina al-Munawwara. And he is one of those who had cried when they had no means for jihad. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, Surah Tawbah, verse number 92, وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تَوَلَّوا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا أَلَّا يَجِدُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ. Subhanallah, that these individuals, there was no means, mounts for them to go out and fight in battle, and they were very saddened by this, that they were unable to join in this jihad, and they left crying, subhanallah. He lived in Syria, and he passed away. He died in Homs in the year 75 AH, and this was around the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan's rule during the Umayyad dynasty. He narrated 31 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and so we see that he embraced Islam very, very early, and he lived a very long life, walhamdulillah, up to the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan in the Umayyad dynasty. Number three, brothers and sisters, the importance and general comments related to this hadith. Number one, I mean, it's super important in the fact that these are from amongst the final words of advice of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companion said, it seems that this is like a farewell address. It seems that this is like the wasiyah, the advice of somebody who is bidding farewell. And so give us advice. Your father's on his deathbed. The advices of your father on his deathbed will be very dear to you, will be very important. Your father is not going to waste time with matters which are not of a priority, but he is obviously going to focus on the super important matters, the priorities. And the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the advices, he mentions what will lead to prosperity in both worlds, this world and in the hereafter. This hadith also has certain principles to protect oneself when faced with challenges post the death of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking to Sahaba, and so he says to them, you know, there's going to be issues, there's going to be trials, and if you hold on to what I'm giving you here, the advice is here, then you will attain your salvation. We find that Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he said about the portion of the hadith, kullu bid'atin dalala, that every type of innovation, invention, bid'ah, they are all misguidance. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he said about these words, min jawami'i al-kalim, these are from the, you know, the comprehensive nature of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam's speech. Very, very few words, but very, very vast in meaning, subhanallah. We found that some of the ulama said, asul azim min usul al-deen. This hadith here, it is a pillar from amongst the pillars of the deen, the contents of this hadith. This hadith here covers principles related to bid'ah or innovation, related to matters of obedience to the ruler. It also covers the principles with regards to avoiding dissent and holding on to unity, holding on to the jama'ah, holding on to the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also, it gives us that principle with regards to giving advice. Who was the man of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he would give advice? We will touch upon that very soon, inshallah. Number four, bi-iznillahi ta'ala, the explanation or the sharh of this hadith. That the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave a maw'izah. He gave a maw'izah. Maw'izah is an admonishment. It's a warning. It's to put fear in the heart of an individual. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in some narrations reported by Imam Abu Dawood, that this was after Salatul Fajr. After Salatul Fajr, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered this admonition. He delivered this this reminder, this maw'izah. He gave this maw'izah after Salatul Fajr. MashaAllah, you know, the heart's serene at that time. Everything's quiet. Maybe a very opportune time to give a reminder. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this maw'izah. He delivered this admonition. The maw'izah means he exhorted the people. He admonished the people. He gave them a warning to put fear in the heart of an individual, to exhort somebody towards obedience, to give good advice. It's a reminder to make the heart tender. It's a heart softener. It is to make the heart soft and submissive to the truth. It is to put the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in an individual. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this after Salatul Fajr. And subhanallah, look at the effect of those words of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did it affect those companions? They began to tear, and their hearts were trembling in fear, subhanallah. This is how the Sahaba, they described the effect of the words of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon them. And they also mentioned that it was baligh. These words of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they reached their hearts. These words reached the hearts of those companions. Similar to how Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, that وَعِظْهُمْ وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا, and admonish them and speak to them an effective word to reach their inner selves. Speak to them, give them some advice which will reach their hearts. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 63. An important principle, brothers and sisters, is to ensure that the maw'izah, this reminder, this good advice, to ensure that the maw'izah, if it is, to be effective, then it should not be very, very long. And obviously, it should not be boring. It should be short and to the point, and that is best. فَخَيْرُ الْكَلَامَ قَلَّ وَدَلْ, the best speech is that which is precise and short. Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, they mention that Ibn Mas'ud, he used to give a reminder every Thursday. He used to give a maw'izah every Thursday. And when some said to him, maybe increase, he said, no, I fear that you people will get bored. Subhanallah. He gives one maw'izah a week, that's all. And they asked him to increase, he says, no. Why? Because I fear you people will get bored. Allahu Musta'an. We need to be wary of this, brothers and sisters. The Imam, the Khatib, he goes on and on and on. The lecture, subhanAllah, it's now been 1.5 hours. In reality, sometimes, after the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes, khalas, the mind shut off. Whatever he says after that has no effect. Allah musta'an. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the companions, look at their methodology when it came to giving a maw'izah. And a means to an effective speech would be that, number one, you obviously have conviction and belief in whatever you are saying. You are convinced about this matter. You cannot be a salesman who's selling something and you're not convinced about the product. No, you need to be convinced. You need to really believe in what you are saying. You need to obviously be sincere, ikhlas in whatever you are saying. Whatever comes from the heart will reach the heart. Whatever comes from the tongue will only reach the ears. He should obviously practice upon what he preaches. The maw'iz, the wa'iz, he's giving this these advices. He should obviously practice whatever he preaches, subhanallah. Mawa'izul wa'izi lan tuqbala hatta ta'iha nafsuhu awwala. That the advice of the one advising will not be accepted until he lives up by it himself, subhanallah. Mawa'izul wa'izi lan tuqbala hatta ta'iha nafsuhu awwala. يا قومي من أظلم من واعظ خالف ما قد قاله في الملأ. Who's worse than the wa'iz who goes against whatever he says in public, subhanallah? أظهر بين الناس إحسانه وبارز الرحمن لما خلا. In front of the people, he shows إحسان and goodness. But when he's alone, then it's another story. Allah musta'an. Shiny Muslim on the outside and slimy Muslim on the inside. وجلت منها القلوب وذرفت منها العيون. The speech affected them. It was not dry. It caused their hearts to fear and caused their eyes to tear. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use the verses of the noble Quran and the authentic ahadith to reach the souls of the individuals. Look at the description of the believers. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا. The believers are those who, when Allah is mentioned, they feel a fear in their hearts. And when His verses are recited to them, they increase in their iman. Allah mentions, Allah نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها مثانية تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم ثم تلين جلودهم وقلوبهم إلى ذكر الله. Subhanallah. Allah has sent down the best of speech, this book, its parts resembling each other and often repeated. The skins of those who fear their Lord shiver when they recite it or they hear it recited. And then their skins and their hearts soften to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should examine ourselves in light of these verses. Does the Quran have any effect upon us? Brothers and sisters, super, super important that in our maw'izah and our advice, use the verses of the noble Quran. Allah says it can have and it will have an effect on the people. Use the authentic ahadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that should be the priority. Yes, no doubt. Sometimes you mention a qissah, you mention a story, you mention a beautiful incident by which people can relate something of a contemporary nature. Fantastic, no problem. But it should not be that the majority of your lecture, of your advice, of your maw'izah is to do with this elder or this individual or this pious person or that righteous person. Rather, the Quran, rather, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be given priority. The words of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be given priority. The actions and the statements of the companions of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be given priority. They are the best of elders. They are the best of the righteous. They are the most pious of the awliya. They were the best of the best. And they are that group that we are all in agreement with regards to. You might talk about this sheikh or you might talk about that sheikh. And this individual accepts, the other one does not accept. We have differences. We have different strokes for different folks. But as for the book of Allah, as for the authentic sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as for the companions, then we, as Sunni Muslims, we are in agreement with regards to all of that. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions, عينان, that two eyes, عينان, لا تمسهما النار, that the fire will not touch them. عين بكت من خشية الله وعين باتت تحرس في سبيل الله, that the eye that teared out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other eye which stood guard during the night on the frontiers. Hadith reported by Imam At-Tirmidhi. Brothers and sisters, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after Salatul Fajr, gave these companions a short advice. They began to tear. Their hearts were trembling. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, it's as if this advice is the advice of somebody bidding farewell. So increase, give us more of this advice, subhanallah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told, كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِظَةُ مُوَدِّعِ, it is like a person giving a farewell address. We find that in a farewell message, one summarizes the most important matters and lists the priorities. It's your last chance. It's your last chance. And imagine this advice, it's so important. Why? Because this hadith is super important, because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving them advice with regards to what they should do after he leaves, after he passes away, what they should do after the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away, subhanallah. What did he say? أُسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ, I give you advice, the advice of taqwa. And this is exactly the same advice as we discussed in hadith number 18, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Mu'adh, ittaqillaha haythuma kunt, fear Allah wherever you are. It's the advice to all of mankind in Surah An-Nisa, verse 131. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ what? وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. To Allah belongs whatever's in the heavens and all that's in the earth. We have advised the people of the scripture before you, the Jews and the Christian and others. We advise them and we also advise you, O the Muslims, to do what? To have taqwa of Allah. Anittaqullah, to have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wassam'i wa ta'a, to listen and obey the Muslim ruler. And this here covers your well-being in this world. This taqwa covers your well-being in this world and more especially the hereafter. Listening and obeying the Muslim ruler covers your well-being in this world. Sam', it means to turn to the authorities, to acknowledge the authorities. And ta'a, to obey them in their orders. So listen and obey. And we find that taqwa and obedience to the Muslim ruler was also mentioned in the Hajj advices of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, these are not small matters. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his like final address, he mentions this. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during his Hajj, final Hajj, he also mentions this. What did he say? Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqullah, fear Allah. Fear Allah, the matter of taqwa. وَإِنْ أُمِّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ حَبَشِيٌّ مُجَدَّعٌ فَاسْمَعُوا لَهُ وَأَطِيعُوا مَا أَقَامَ فِيكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ. Hadith reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O you people, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if, وَإِنْ أُمِّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ, even if a slave, if an Abyssinian slave is placed in charge of you, listen to him and obey him, مَا أَقَامَ فِيكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, for as long as he establishes and rules by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, without obedience to the ruler, there will be chaos, and there will be civil strife, there's no order. Everybody would do their own thing. We will have chaos, subhanAllah. And this obedience, brothers and sisters, remember, it is required regardless of whether you like it or not. Whether you like him, whether you don't like him, irrelevant. For as long as he is not ordering you to do something which is haram, then you have to obey. But if he orders you with something which is haram, something impermissible, then you do not obey. There's no obedience to the creation in the disobedience towards the creator. So this obedience is not absolute. It is not blind obedience like a cult. No. But rather, we are obedient to the ruler for as long as it is within the realm of the permissible. We find Imam al-Tahawi, he said in his famous Islamic creed, Aqidah al-Tahawiyah, that we do not believe in revolt against our leaders and our rulers, even if they commit injustice, nor do we supplicate against them or defy their orders. On the contrary, we believe that obedience to them is a duty and part and parcel of our obligatory obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For as long as they do not order anything sinful, we pray for their safety and their piety. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, open up the Noble Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 59. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul, obey Allah and obey the Rasul, wa ulil amri minkum, and those in charge of authority over you. In Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, عَلَى الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمِ أَسَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَ, upon the Muslim is listening and obedience, فِيمَا أَحَبَّ وَكَرِهَ, in whatever he loves, whatever he dislikes, إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمَرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ, except if you are ordered to do sin. فَإِنْ أُمِرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَلَا سَمْعَ وَلَا طَاعَ, if they order you to do sin, then you do not obey and you do not listen. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said, there's no Islam without jama'ah, without a community, without us being in jama'ah. You don't just live on your own. No, there's no Islam without the jama'ah, and there's no community without a leader. And there's no leader without obedience. What's the point in you calling him the Amir? You know, and you remember, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that even if you are a few and you're out on a journey, choose an Amir from amongst you, so that there will not be chaos, and so that there will be order in your matters. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those were his advices, that you as-sam' wa-ta'a, was-sam'i wa-ta'a, and to listen and to obey. We find that, as was mentioned, the words of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ, even if a slave is put in charge of you, subhanallah. Some narrations mention عَبْدٌ حَبَشِيٌ, an Abyssinian slave. Remember, so this slave, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking to the Quraysh. He's talking to the Quraysh. He's talking to the Arabs. So he's saying to them that even if a slave is put in charge of you, so this is a slave, he's not even free. And number two, he's not an Arab. Number three, he's not from the Quraysh. Even if such a person is put in charge of you, then you listen to him and you obey him. This here, you know, to show and give the impact with regards to obedience. Even if it's a slave, forget a free man, it's a slave. Forget an Arab, it's a non-Arab. And it is a person who is not from the Quraysh, you listen and you obey. Subhanallah. And so, brothers and sisters, ponder over your own life and your own local situations. That do not look at the matter of race or lineage and caste, etc. These should not be the conditions that one should be looking at. Rather, it should be that which the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, that obedience, and obviously this is conditional to the person judging by the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some said that these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were to emphasize obedience, that's why he gave the example of a slave, etc. Others said, no, rather this is his informing us that maybe one day the slave would be in charge of the people. Maybe one day the slave would be the ruler. And some said, well, this in reality came true during the time of the Mamluks. During the time of the Mamluks, they were originally slaves. Allahumma musta'an. And some ulama use this example as the example for the lesser of two evils. That although we should not by choice have a slave in charge of us, he's not a free man. He's not a free man. He's got a master, right? He's not a free man. And so you should not have a slave as the Khalifa. That's the basic default rule. And the basic default rule is that best case scenario, the Khalifa should be from the Quraysh. But if this is not met, and even if a slave does become the Caliph and he is in charge, then we must listen and we must obey. Subhanallah. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. And whoever lives long amongst you, certainly he will see a lot of differences. This is a prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is him giving us information with regards to the future, that there will be a lot of differences in politics, in rule, in terms of opinions, in terms of beliefs. And subhanallah, the problems began during the lifetime of those who were being spoken to. During the lifetime of the Sahaba, these issues began. Yes or no? Yes, subhanallah. During the lifetime of the Sahaba, you had the beginnings of a lot of ikhtilaf. Then what do you do? If that happens, if you're in that turmoil, what do you do? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. So stick to my sunnah. If you want to be rescued from confusion and conflict, stick to my sunnah. Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What does sunnah mean? Sunnah means a way of life. It means a pattern. It means a path. It means a clear path. It includes beliefs, manners, deeds, actions, the manner of worship, all the different types of worship, the manner and statements. To follow the sunnah in all of the above. And you follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his deeds, in his manner of worship, in his statements, in his beliefs, etc. That's following the sunnah. As for the technicalities, then technically the word sunnah is also used to mean, in fiqh, it means a recommendation, like a nafil recommendation. It's not an obligation. In usul al-fiqh, it means the recommended acts, the mustahab matters, the mandub matters. In ahadith, in the science of ahadith, sunnah means the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the action of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his tacit approvals. In aqidah, we found that when they talk about sunnah, it means the fundamentals of the deen, usul ad-deen. Example, Imam Ahmed has a book, kitab as-sunnah. And what is it? It is a book of aqidah. And we should obviously follow the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as some of the ulama, they said, to follow him means أن يفعل ما فعل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, to do as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. على الوجه الذي فعل, in the same manner that he did, in the same context that he did. لأجل أنه فعل, because he had done so, that's why you do so. Did he stop with his sunnah? No. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. And hold on, stick to the sunnah of the khulafa al-rashidin, al-mahdiyin, rightly guided after me. What does rashid mean? Rashid means the one who recognizes the truth and follows it. Khulafa al-Rashidin recognizes the truth and follows it. We find the opposite of that is the Ghawi. Ghawi, somebody who recognizes the truth but does not follow it. As for Dhal, then this is an individual who does not even recognize the truth. Allahumma musta'an. Who were the Khulafa al-Rashidin? Many of the ulama state that it was Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. They were the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiyin. Other ahadith mention that the period of the Khulafa al-Rashidin will be 30 years. That caliphate upon the prophetic model will be for 30 years. We find Abu Bakr 2.3 years, Umar for 10 years and 6 months, Uthman for 12 years, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala for 4.9 years. And so if one totals this comes to 30 years. And so this is an opinion of many of the ulama. Khulafa al-Rashidin are Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Some of the other ulama, Imam al-Haytami and others, they add in Hassan radiallahu ta'ala an, the son of Ali. And we find that some ulama said, no, rather the Khulafa al-Rashidin, they are the great scholars and they are the mujtahidun of any and every age. But majority go with Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. What does it mean that hold on to their sunnah? Does it mean that if Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, for example, if they ruled in a certain matter, in a certain ijtihadi matter, where there's no clear text, then other sahaba maybe differed with them. Does it mean that this is still like an ijma', like an example of consensus? The answer is no. Other sahaba differed. So how can it be consensus? Although some ulama were of this opinion, nonetheless, it cannot be regarded as ijma. But is it a proof? Is this like a proof? Not necessarily, no doubt. It's a very clear and good sign that most likely the haqq is on that side. But we found that, for example, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he differed with the Khulafa al-Rashidin in about 5 issues in fara'id. 5 issues in inheritance, he differed with them. And it was not said to him, well, you know what, we're not interested in what you say. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali were of the counter opinion. No. So we state that, the status of the opinion of the Sahaba, and this is a great long discussion, what is the ruling with regards to the opinion of the Sahaba, and do we make a distinction between the Khulafa al-Rashidin and others? Do we make a distinction between Abu Bakr and Umar and others? It's a very long discussion for another time, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. But suffice for us to understand that some of the ulama were of the opinion that if you have Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali on one side, then we should go with that. We should go with that. Other ulama said, no, it's not necessarily that way, but rather what it means is to stick to the way of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. Not necessarily in every small mas'ala, but rather to stick to the general manhaj, the general methodology of the Khulafa al-Rashideen. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, hold on to it tightly with what? With your molars, subhanallah. With your molar teeth. And what would this mean? Hold on tightly, cling, stick firmly to it. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ And beware of newly introduced matters, newly invented matters, heresies in the deen. Allah has perfected our deen. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا Today I have perfected for you your religion and chosen and completed my blessings upon you and chosen for you Islam as your religion. Surah Ma'idah verse number 3. And so there's no need for any additions, any subtractions, any alterations. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا مِمَّا أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ إِلَّا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ That there's nothing that Allah has ordered of you except that I ordered you to do it. وَلَا شَيْئًا مِمَّا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ إِلَّا وَقَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ And there's nothing that Allah forbade you people except that I have prohibited it for you. Imam Malik, he said, if somebody wants to innovate, come with a bid'ah, something in the religion of Islam, and he believes that it is very good, he has thereby alleged that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been disloyal to his message. He has not given us the full message. That is true because, and obviously he has given us the true message. Why? Because Allah said, I have perfected for you your religion. And Imam Malik said, whatever was not part of the deen during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sahaba, then it is not part of the deen today. It was not part of the deen then, it will not be part of the deen today. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ And beware of newly invented matters. We found that generally the ulama have three definitions of bid'ah. And this matter, we've already discussed it in great detail when we discussed the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the fifth hadith, and the audios are available. Nonetheless, three general definitions when it comes to the matter of bid'ah, and the ulama have differed. We find, for example, the first opinion, a very broad definition, Imam al-Shafi'i and others, very, very broad definition. But the problem with this definition, it includes worldly matters. It includes, you know, as a bid'ah, your cell phone, as a bid'ah, the car, etc. Where in reality, that's not the issue. Nobody has an issue with worldly technologies and newly invented matters for benefit when it comes to worldly matters. No, there's no debate there. The second definition, and that's the definition of Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali and others, the bid'ah would be that which does not have a source or a basis in the Quran or in the Sunnah. But the problem here is that this definition of bid'ah and the definition of sin would be the same. So every sin would be a bid'ah. The third definition of Imam al-Shatibi and others, that every act or ritual which is not based on the Quran and the Sunnah, and it is done as an act of worship, this would be regarded as a bid'ah. And he also mentions any worldly act done with the claim that it is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst there's no evidence to support it, then this here would also fall under the definition of the bid'ah. And we've already discussed the definitions and we've already discussed the opinions of the ulama in our discussion pertaining to hadith number 5. Take note, with Imam al-Shatibi's definition, there's obviously no good bid'ah. There's no good bid'ah, and he has gone into a great discussion with regards to this matter at length. Then the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ And every type of bid'ah, it is ضَلَالَة, it is misguidance. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would mention these words a lot in his khutab, in his addresses, in his khutbas, especially in the introduction to many of those sermons. As for كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ Every innovation, it is ضَلَالَة. What is ضَال? ضَال means to go astray. Dhal means to go astray. And this is the proof. وَكُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. This is the proof of those ulama, Imam al-Shatibi and others, who state that there is no evidence for good bid'ah. They said because the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, كُلُّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. He said, every innovation, it is dalala. And so that is the proof of Imam al-Shatibi and others. And other scholars, they have a different take on the matter. And this is Imam al-Shatibi's opinion and his evidence. We find, for example, the narration of Imam Ahmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us upon clear guidance. The night is clear, the day is clear, and nobody goes into misguidance except the one who is, you know, destroyed. And this narration here indicates to us that the teachings of al-Islam, they are clear. The teachings of al-Islam, they are clear. The sirat al-mustaqim, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, that guide us to the straight path. This is the clear path. It is not mystical. It is not ambiguous. It is not esoteric. It's not veiled or hidden or some secret type of knowledge. No, Sirat al-Mustaqim, it is something clear for the Bedouin in the middle of the desert and for the individual in Nigeria, as for the housewife in Durban and the engineer in America. It's clear for all of them to be upon the straight path. Remember, brothers and sisters, when it comes to the matter of innovation, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that. What did he say? He said that man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa radd. Whoever introduces anything into this deen, then this person's innovation will be rejected. He also said, inna Allah hajaba at-tawba ala kulli sahib bid'ah hatta yada' bid'atahu. Allah has put a barrier in front of the repentance for every companion of innovation until he leaves his innovation. He also mentions that aballahu an yaqbal amal sahibi bid'atin hatta yada'a bid'atahu. Allah refuses to accept the deeds of the companion of bid'ah until he leaves his innovation. These various narrations, some of them recorded in Imam al-Tabarani's, recorded by Imam al-Tabarani, and others Imam al-Shatibi mentions in his i'tisam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Why is it misguidance? Why did our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that every innovation is misguidance? Because number one, you think that you know better. You think that you know better than the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you know better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who's perfected the deen. You are like the lawmaker. You are now making up sharia. And also you are not a follower. You are not a follower of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It also opens up the door of corruption, because you might think this is good. Somebody else thinks this other thing is good. And this is how the previous religions were corrupted. That's how they were corrupted. Everybody came along and they made their own thing. You ask somebody, what's the definition of this religion, what's the crux of this religion, and you find that 5-10 of them have all different answers. It's all whatever my taste is like, whatever I feel, whatever gels with me. Allahu musta'an. And also, this is the individual who's involved in innovation, very rare would he make tawbah from that. But the one who commits sin will make tawbah because he knows it's a sin. He's committed zina, he'll make tawbah because he knows bad sin. But the one who's involved in innovation, he thinks that this is something good. So he's obviously not going to make tawbah from that. It's also a reason for a lot of tafarruq. And we know this, subhanAllah. And we experience this, that these innovations lead to a lot of dissent amongst the Muslims. Somebody comes up with something and he wants to do it, and somebody else doesn't want to follow, and somebody writes an article, and somebody writes a pamphlet, and somebody says this, and somebody says that, and you don't do this, and why don't you do this, and we can't get married to this, and you can't get married to that. Ya Allah, this masjid and that masjid, and don't pray here, and pray there, and don't pray behind this one. Allahu musta'an. Look at how much of dissent this has done, whereas we have not even done half of what we have been told by the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do. If you spend your entire life from today until the day you die, you want to do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to do, and you want to do as he did, you most likely will die before you finish all of that. So we have more than enough that we are supposed to concentrate upon. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, this hadith This hadith has been reported in the Sunan of Imam, in the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood. Who is Imam Abu Dawood? Imam Abu Dawood's full name, Abu Dawood Suleiman ibn al-Ash'ath al-Azdi al-Sijistani, born in the year 202. He passed away in Basra in the year 275. From amongst his teachers, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ishaq ibn Rahaway, Imam Ahmed. From amongst his students, Imam al-Tirmidhi, Imam al-Nasa'i, and others. As for in closing with regards to this hadith, fawaid, benefits from this hadith, we found the benefit of knowing the sunnah, learn the sunnah, spread the sunnah, study the sunnah, perform the sunnah, subhanallah. And the more you do of the sunnah, the closer you are to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Knowing the sunnah and being upon it, its importance, hold on to it with your molar teeth. Hold on to it, cling on to it. Avoid innovations and heresies. Avoid them like the plague, subhanallah. And if anyone has a doubt, I'm not sure. Some ulama said that this is fine. And another group of ulama said, no, this here is an innovation. I don't know. I'm an ordinary layman. What's the safest thing to do? What's the safest thing to do? Similar to when you have this food in front of you. Some ulama said it's fine. And another group of ulama said, no, this is haram. What's the safe? Because you don't know. What's the safer thing to do? When in doubt, leave it out. Excellent. And the same when it comes to this matter of innovation. Some ulama said it's a good thing. It's a nice thing. And another group of ulama said, no, 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 no. Avoid this and this is not good. Safest thing as an ordinary layman who hasn't studied the matter, avoid. We find that that one should be brief in speech, but one should be precise. And one should be precise and concise to the point. Walhamdulillah. These advices were like the farewell advice of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He stressed the matter of taqwa. It also shows us how to, you know, how to be rescued from differences and splitting. What's the way out? Stick to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Stick to the sunnah of the Khulafa ar-Rashideen. To be practical, somebody comes with something, somebody says do this, somebody says do that, somebody is doing something in some strange manner, ask him, brother, is this in the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Has the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us to do this and in this manner? No. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali, the Khulafa ar-Rashideen, have they done it in this manner? What was their understanding of this manner? Would they do it in this way? I want to stick to the way that they did it. Let me do it as they did it. That's the best course of action. Walhamdulillah. We also learn from this hadith the status of the Khulafa ar-Rashideen. Oh, subhanallah, look at the Sahaba. Look at what soft hearts they had. After Salatul Fajr, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives them this advice and they begin tearing and their hearts were trembling. They were people with soft hearts, walhamdulillah. We also learn that this hadith is proof for the principle of the lesser of two evils. We allow the lesser of two evils, that even if a slave is put in charge of you, which is obviously not the best choice, but even if you have a situation like that, then you listen and you obey, walhamdulillah. And with that, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we come to the end of this hadith, hadith number 28, brothers and sisters. Let's read through the hadith one more time. Irbad ibn Sariya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that one day, and we know what time was this, this was after Salatul Fajr, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them this advice. What was the advice of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Number one, mu'izatan wajilat minha al-qulub wa dharafat minha al-uyun, gave them an advice which caused the hearts to tremble and caused the eyes to tear. فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّهَا مَوْعِظَةُ مُوَدِّعِ, it is this advice, the advice of like a parting person, somebody giving a farewell advice. فَأَوْصِنَا, so give us advice. قَالَ أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ, I advise you with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to listen and obey your Muslim rulers. وَإِنْ تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبْدٌ, even if a slave is placed in charge of you. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ, For verily, whoever lives from amongst you, فَسَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا, he will see a lot of differing, a lot of differences. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ, stick to my sunnah and the sunnah of the khulafa الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ, rightly guided. عَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ, hold on, cling on to it with your molars. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to live up to the sunnah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to practice it. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ, and beware of newly invented matters. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ, for every bid'ah, it is misguidance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us long life upon goodness, upon khair and upon barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us truly from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the people of the Sunnah and the people of the Jama'ah, those who hold on to the way of the companions of the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us lovers of the Sunnah and resurrect us in the company of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hayyakumullah. Until we meet again, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.